Our New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 17. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you. In my prayers, at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Here ends our reading.
Thank you, Jim. And Brian, will you bring us the message now? Thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you for the privilege of sharing with you and with God's word as we look at that together.
Oh,
How strong is your motivation? What really motivates you, mobilizes you? I've sometimes reflected on Karl Marx's quote, "There's no such thing as a lazy person, only insufficiently motivated." Do you agree? It's interesting to mull over that one. But our motivation does direct so much of our interest, our activity, how we relate to others. People vary in their degrees of motivation, their directions of motivation, their priorities in life. Sadly, so much of the world around us today has the attitude, what's in it for me? Very self-centered. I like the old definition of Christian joy. Jesus first, others next, yourself last, J-O-Y. And the world has it totally the other way around. Me first. But Paul was very strongly motivated, but not for himself. He spells it out at various stages in his writings, in his ministry. We see in Philippians, as Pastor Matt has been leading us through already, parts of Philippians, Paul's heart for the Lord and for others who need the Lord. Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ." His motivation was centered on Jesus. To know him, to show him, to share him to all around him. This was just read to us by Jim. Romans 1, verse 11. "To the believers in Rome, most of whom Paul had not yet met, but he, quote, longs to impart to them a blessing, spiritual gift, together, that together they might be mutually encouraged." Romans, written just before the letter to the Philippians, probably about 57 AD. And here is Paul saying, "I would love to come and share with you, share Jesus Christ with you." Philippians was probably written only 3 or 4 years later in 61 AD from Rome, where Paul was indeed there with them, but in chains, arrested and brought to trial in Rome. Paul's heart is in these letters, Philippians, Romans. We see his awareness of his Lord. We see his burden for those who need Jesus. I'd like just to focus on three verses in Romans 1 here, the passage that was read to us. Verses 14, 15, 16, three verbs Paul uses that reflect his heart, his motivation. I am obligated. I am eager. I am not ashamed. Verse 14, "I am obligated both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks." In other words, everyone. "Both to the wise and the foolish." Yeah, indeed, everyone. With a sense of responsibility, of obligation. He sees the gospel as a trust, a commission, the news of salvation through Jesus Christ by faith, by grace, God's mercy that he has received and has now acknowledged as a commission he received on the Damascus Road when Jesus met with him and commissioned him to pass on the good news of salvation to all, Jew or Gentile, Greek or non-Greek. not distinguishing, to share with them as a responsibility, rather like Malachi 3, where not giving to God is described as robbing God. So for Paul, a sense that if I do not convey this good news of salvation, that Jesus has commissioned me to share, then I am robbing God. As I don't obey him, I'm robbing them by not sharing what they need to know. So Paul can recognize and acknowledge a trust in that commission and an obligation to those who don't yet know Jesus. I am obligated, tantamount to failing his Lord if he does not obey. Whoopsie, I forgot this thing. How are we going? Thank you indeed, Nyoti. That's very smart. That Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus commissioned his followers, his disciples, go and make disciples, preach the gospel, communicate the good news of salvation. So here is Paul, obligated. Sees it as a clear and logical obligation. Romans 1, 13 to 15, effectively. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they haven't believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. A logical progression. All who call will be saved. But how can they call if they haven't believed, heard, someone been sent? We pray for those whom we also share in the sending. Chris and Catherine, other missionaries we know and pray for and support. So Paul's motivation. How's our motivation in these things? Paul acknowledges his responsibility and the obligation he had. Paul's sense of obligation, Tanyuti, rests directly on a number of factors. Obedience to Christ. Matthew 28, we just looked at, go and make disciples. John 20, 21, Jesus' words, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. The need of the lost. Romans 10, we just looked at. How can they be saved if they don't hear, believe, call? How can they know that unless someone goes to them and tells them? He recognizes the need to share the good news. The love of God. The love of God in Paul, in us. The love of God for them. And Paul could say, considering the need of others, the love of Christ compels me. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Here's the push that motivates Paul. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 11. Knowing the fear of God, we persuade people. Fear for their situation without salvation in Christ. Fear for his failed responsibility before God. It's not a paralyzing terror, but it is an awe, a respect, a realization of who God is, of what Christ has commissioned him to be, to do, to share, to show. So Paul says, indeed, he's been saved and called, commissioned for this purpose, as he can share Jew, Gentile, all. And in his autobiographical acknowledgement to King Agrippa, the end of Acts, when he's finally coming to the final stages of trial in his life, he could say to Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. How do we respond to the call, the commission, the vision, the trust, the privilege, our motivation? Paul saw himself as a steward of the gospel, accountable to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, 16-17. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to you. Motivation. Based on the vision of his Lord and Saviour. But it's not just a heavy burden for Paul. I'm obligated. He's also eager. He can say, I am eager, verse 15, to share the gospel, to preach to you, to open up what God has done for them and longs to see in them, as he's already said a few verses earlier in this letter. I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that we may be mutually encouraged. Because of Christ's love and salvation for them, because of their need and the benefit that will accrue, Paul is aware of the trust, but also the privilege of his salvation and his commission. It's an important matter to him, a matter of life and death, not just an optional, if it works out, if I see them, if I can this, can that, the other. It's danger for them without Christ's salvation. I've shared with some of you of an incident when we were living in Sarawak. We were living in the town of Miri in northern Sarawak, East Malaysia, Borneo. The road to the airport was a bit way out of town in the early days when we were there, unlit and rather undulating. And there was one spot, it was quite a gully with a stream trickling along the bottom most of the time, a bit of a culvert, and you drove down and over and up the other side and on to the airport. But the tropics... One time there was torrential tropical downpour. They smoothed out the road, first of all, so they put in a bit of a pipe. They filled it all up so that you could drive on the level instead of this quite deep gully. Nice road going straight onto the airport. All was well until, the tropical rain came down one time, torrential downpour, such that the water banked up, backed up behind this pipe, couldn't all get through in time. It leaked around, it eroded, and suddenly, late at night, it had been pouring a couple of days, all day, late at night, it swept away. All of the earth fill, the pipe, everything in this gully. Still, pouring rain, pitch black, cars speeding to go through to the airport, no traffic lights in that area, no street lights that area at that stage. The first three cars sped straight down in with fatal, with serious consequences. Next car stopped in time. Pouring rain, the guy got out, ran back up the road, waving, flagging cars to stop because of the danger if they kept going. Not an optional extra, there was serious danger. And he was motivated to help, to safeguard people. Paul's view of the gospel to others not an optional communicating, but a needed in danger word of warning and advice. So Paul would see himself in this way. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. All this is from God, who reconciled himself to us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So Paul could say, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It's a good study, mentioned before, to look at the verbs Paul uses about communicating his message to others. Look at some of them: implore, persuade, urge, appeal, preach, proclaim, admonish, teach. How motivated are we to share the good news of salvation in Jesus? So Paul can indeed say, 2 Corinthians 4:1, by his mercy we have this ministry. God's goodness to us and God's desire to bless in the same way others whom we can reach. So Paul's eager to use his opportunities to take action, to fulfill his commission. Opportunities, yeah, can be taken or neglected, wasted, crowded out. I remember Hudson Southwell, the founder of the Borneo Evangelical Mission in East Malaysia, talking one time with me on the early days, the 1930s, the mission had just started, and he travelled up the Baram River, northern Sarawak. The Baram is a big river, a kilometre or so across at the mouth. I remember travelling 3 days by boat up the river, and we still hadn't got to the headwaters. Hudson had been travelling down through the longhouses in the upper Baram and seen so many turn to Jesus. Travelled through the lower Baram, again the longhouses accepting salvation in Jesus Christ. He wanted to go to the central Baram area, this big river, lots of villages, longhouses, communities. But he'd promised to go back to the coast, to the mission headquarters. There were some new missionaries arriving. There were some issues he needed to handle. He was torn between my responsibility to go back there or the need of the rest of the chunk of the river. He felt he should go back and do what he'd promised. But it was some months before he could get back to the Baram River. In the interim, some people of a different religious persuasion, a different teaching, different emphasis, different approach, had come in and had worked through the central Baram area. And so many of the longhouses there had turned to follow that different pathway. And I remember Hudson's agony of, did I do the right thing? What about their need and situation? Because in the 80s, when we were there, it was still, yeah, evangelical church, upper and lower, but central, different religious following. Optional? No. Important commission. How we use the opportunities we have. We may not be in Borneo. We may not be in wherever, whatever, but how we use our opportunities. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, Paul again, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of the glory, the future. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. May we here not be burdened, distressed, hung up on the past. Forgetting what's past, I press forward, have a clear vision, clear motivation to follow our Lord, to share our Lord. I press on. So, ministry, the commission, the sharing of the gospel for Paul was a privilege. Do we see it as a calling? As a privilege. And here Paul's third verb, I am obligated. I am eager. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God for salvation to the Jew and to the Gentile. Paul's aware of the vital importance of the message that he has to share and is bold, knowing that the gospel of Jesus is the greatest gift he can share with others. And his witness is therefore so important, even if it's costly or difficult. I am not ashamed, he can say. And a gift eagerly given, gladly given in love, is not a burdensome sacrifice. It's a joy for us, even in the face of embarrassment or difficulty or opposition or, like Paul, dangers. We can say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, remembering that Christ was not ashamed of us on the cross. We can be encouraged with God's promise. 1 Samuel 2:30. Those who honour me, I will honour. How do we cope and respond then? Some of you were brought up on William Carey and are very familiar with the story. In the 1780s, William Carey, an English cobbler, shoemaker, mending shoes, he had a map of the world above him as he worked at his bench on shoes. Looking at the map of the world and the nations, the peoples, the millions who needed Jesus and his gospel. Carey called it the ever-accusing map, because looking at that, it was as though it was challenging him, accusing him of the need of those. So Carey taught to urge his fellow Baptist leaders, the church pastors and leaders assembly, of the need of the millions in India who did not know Jesus Christ. And he urged them to take up the challenge of mission in India. And with their conservative, theological, social position, the response that came to young Carey was, sit down, young man. If God wants to save them, he can do that without your help or ours. Poor Carey was crushed. Went out from that meeting just in grief. Felt like giving up. And his friend, Andrew Fuller, said to him, hey, you're not going to give up, are you? And encouraged him to remember the burden the Lord had put on his heart, the vision the Lord had given him of sharing the gospel with others. So Carey picked up his feet and trudged on and urged again and again until 1792. One of the first of the major modern missions, the Baptist Missionary Society, was formed and sent folk to India. Are we discouraged? Do we have, difficulty in sharing the gospel? Lord, help us to see the opportunities, to use the opportunities, to be wise and faithful. Those who honour me, I will honour. May we have the vision, the courage, the commitment, the desire, the obedience, the priorities to live for Jesus, using our opportunities, our time and energies to live as did Paul, recognizing our obligation, being eager and not ashamed to share the good news of Jesus, our Saviour and Lord.